Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
For SE, we gossip. $29,865 or $449 a month. Plus, every gossip Mitsubishi comes with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's gossip Mitsubishi. 1870 Covington Pike, online 24-7 at MemphisMitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossip Motor Cars.
Mirage RHF 09083, MSRP 19460, Sport RU 01-10764, MSRP 28070, Outlander RZO 53896, MSRP 30,000. $8.95, PF 695, acquisition fee 595, 15 cents excess mileage, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid to end of the month with approved dealer stock only.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station. Now, it's Jason and John, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios on Memphis' Sports Station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Get some money, they playing. I told her, take this plan, B, and stop playing. I'm tired of buying jewelry, finna buy some land. They still trying to figure out who I be. Pillow talking to these, they say money talk, put diamonds in my teeth. I be Louis down with Jordans on my feet. Messed up in your yard like trick or treat.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a pleasant Tuesday so far. Welcome in. Everybody get settled on in. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals and the fact that the Boston Celtics now reign supreme. 18th NBA title. Yep, it's more than the Lakers. Broke that 17 all tie. Moved ahead, and it was good to see sort of the monkey come off of Jason Tatum's back. And I suppose it wasn't just him, Jaylen Brown as well. Jaylen Brown named Finals MVP. We'll talk about it, what it meant. Was this truly one of the best teams we've ever seen, as my co-host has held them up to be? Perhaps. Were they tested? That's got to factor into the equation. But they do finish off the Dallas Mavericks. Fade Brad in strong. That finishes strong, that segment. A wonderful segment that swept the nation. Brad obviously had the Dallas Mavericks last night in the points, and that was blown away early. Celtics win it all. And again, we are happy for Jason Tatum, former Memphis War Eagle, and my man, Jaylen Brown, again, Finals MVP. Jeff Van Gundy's coming back to the sidelines. We'll talk about that. Shelby County Pro-Am is kicking off tonight. That's big. It's the fourth year of that. Shelby County Pro-Am is the son of the Bluff City Classic. And if you have been around Memphis for any amount of time, you remember the Bluff City Classic in the days that Penny Hardaway, Elliot Perry would grace the court and playing those games that were free back in the day down at Southwest. And the Shelby County Pro-Am now in its fourth league is basically the new Bluff. And they are getting started tonight. We're going to have some guests in here and talk about that. They've moved from the Orange Mountain Community Center to Crosstown High. A little bit bigger venue, I believe, but nice and intimate. We'll talk about that today at some point. Injury news for University of Memphis basketball. Sounds like it's going to be okay, though. And then I read some columns this morning from the man I'm looking across from right now, John Martin, and Jeff Coggins over the Daily Memphian. Y'all were working yesterday. Y'all putting in that work.
We did it.
We did it!
Okay, Jason.
Yeah, that was absolutely cringe.
Well, I think he felt because you're coming after KG.
Yeah.
It's the moment. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
And that's what came into his head.
That's what he came up with.
I mean, they did it! They did do it.
Yeah, but come on, bro. You should have just said nothing at all. I mean, that's terrible. That's like what I say when my kid uses the bathroom, you know.
I did text you that it lacked.
It was fake, bro. It was like phony.
Personality.
And then he had Tatum actually, you learn, has TikTok brain rot because his first public appearance on a microphone was, I wonder what they said, what they were going to say if we didn't win. I guess we'll never know. And that's like, I've been spending most of my life.
Now, can you take it easy on this, brother? He already didn't win finals MVP last night.
That's right.
Okay? Wouldn't give him that, even though he could make a pretty good case he outperformed Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And now here you are beating him up after he wins his first title.
It was tough.
He doesn't deserve this. Man was a former Memphis War Eagle, bro.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
So go easy.
Look, here's the thing about Tatum. We'll get into this. He seems like a good dude. Seems like a good dad.
He is a good dude.
You know, but the thing about America, right? The thing about America that we need for our stars is we need them to have overcome something. We need them to have overcome a rough childhood or, you know, a single parent home or, you know, they overcame poverty. Like Tatum gets on there and he's like, yeah, you know, my mom used to, you know, not have enough money, you know, back in the day, you know, it was kind of hard. So, you know, that's why I like, you know, Ally here. Dad was in the picture, bro. Dad was there. Like
Justin,
what's up with Justin Tatum erasure here?
Yeah, I would certainly feel a certain kind of way about that one commercial.
Yeah, yeah, like come, bro, I was around, bro. Like you ain't got to do this.
I think we talked to him. He's playing overseas.
Right,
the man was around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we need our stars have overcome but something, and Tatum never really has.
You're holding his commercials against him and his story against.
I don't know if you saw the Jordan Brand one today. That was
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Not a big fan of the Tatum shoe.
Yeah.
Just overall, but there's a Jordan Brand commercial with Tatum. And it's
and the slogan
about
is,
being a champion.
Don't stop disbelieving.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to think about that. I don't know who came up with that in the meeting. I got it. How about this? Don't stop disbelieving.
I told you this won't be new to you, but I'm sensing real KD-sensitive type vibes here.
Yeah.
Cares a lot. About what old social media, what'd you call it, TikTok brain rot?
Yeah, TikTok brain rot.
Just cares a lot, man, about what you think about Jason Tatum.
I think he's a hard guy to market, and people are struggling with how to do it. You know, I think it was like the Ruffles that was like, playoff Tatum's not a thing. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever said playoff Tatum. Like, it's just not a thing, really, honestly. It's like they're trying to invent some kind of narrative about Tatum that doesn't exist.
You mad because you had Dallas in the points.
Well, no, I mean,
I
went 4-1 in the finals. I'm going to take that all day.
And you should be happy with that. Now, you blew it at the end.
I did blow it at the end.
And you knew it as soon as Brad was on
100%.
Yesterday.
All my friends I text, I'm like, I'm not winning this.
And that's when you should have hedged or something.
I should have. And then
but you were rolling on 4-0. You said, let's go ahead.
Exactly.
I'm good anyway.
100%.
Right? And so you're a little angry that still happy with your performance through the finals. But you're a little angry today. You're taking it out on Jason Tatum.
Well, look, here's the deal. I mean, he has one move.
We can say great, too, and it can be true.
There's
just a little lameness and sort of that some star power. Something's missing.
No question.
Something's not there. I agree. Sometimes it's almost this narrative that's been made that he overcame. He's been great his entire life.
Exactly. So it's like,
and supported, I believe.
And he's got everything.
Because I know my man Jake Barnes, another Memphian.
Exactly.
His, the st-
stepfather figure. I don't know if he's married to Jason's mom.
Right.
Sits beside her at every game. He's been there for you know. So my man is supported.
He's an all-American dude.
But maybe selling that story is part of trying to build up this something that's not there.
Like, and it's not believable.
And that's kind of what you're hitting on. It's forced. It's a little forced.
It is.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know.
Do we know the real Jason Tatum?
I think that's who he is. He's just like a boring, calm person.
Well, that's fine. You know, all of our stars can't be.
That's right. Kobe Bryant. And that's his whole thing. He wants to be Kobe. He wants to, you know.
I don't see him in the post enough to be Kobe.
Yeah. So it's just.
He's got that in his bag, too.
Yeah. It's just, you know, again, he can't be the face
of
the NBA.
Just be happy for him. Just be happy for him.
Because he's not marketable enough in terms of a personality, you know. Like, he can't be the face of the NBA. And that's why, like, again, we're going to see. And this is something that the league is going to have to answer for, right? And I haven't even set up the show yet. But this is something that the league is going to have to answer for with their brand new media rights deal that's whatever.
Next 11, 12 years.
Luka, clearly, as great as he is, was not enough to captivate an American audience. And the Celtics might as well have been Morgan Freeman reading Goodnight Moon. We did not care about this finals as a collective. The game four of this finals was the lowest rated since COVID. I think that's going to continue to be a trend. So we talked about this, a month or two ago,
mm-hmm.
about that next wave, because LeBron's done, Steph's done.
Yeah.
They got to find it, and it ain't Tatum. It ain't Tatum, and the ratings are going to bear that out. The league needs Ja. The league needs his controversy. Because, like it or not, it's the best thing going.
Well, I think just the basketball alone would be enough. You don't have to have controversy in terms.
But he at least does evoke feelings, though, right? Like, he does. You feel.
Well, he was doing that before.
Exactly.
But before he made the mistakes.
You can do that without the
100% you can.
But I'm just saying, like, that's who the league needs.
I mean, that's LeBron James. He's done it with just the on-court stuff. He hadn't gotten any controversy in terms of.
Absolutely.
You know, mistakes off the floor.
And Ja, I feel like the two guys who are absolutely the best equipped to really, you know, herd the NBA into an era where people will be invested again because they're just dynamic on and off the floor. Ja's going to have a new shoe coming out, right? Like, people were wondering, is he going to get the Ja? Yeah, he's getting the Ja 2s. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great campaign. So, you know, the reality is he and Ant have the best chance. It's not even though Tatum's a champ, even though your boy Jaylen Brown's finals MVP, we both know they can't be the ones to shoulder the NBA.
I appreciate Brown's attempts to, and I think I'm not just talking about what he did after getting snubbed on All NBA. I mean, I think that could, you could say that was as personal as anything.
Yeah.
But being in the dunk contest, you know, trying to bring all stars back to that. We may never give it to him, John, but he's trying. He's trying, and he took a step forward this year. There's no question about it in terms of leadership and everything else. And in terms of stepping up, I would agree with you that he is not the eyeball drawer, the I must see that Ant-Man and Ja Morant have been and hopefully will continue to be. Yes, the NBA needs American stars.
Yeah.
For eyeballs and to help with there. And those two guys have got the it factor.
They do. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's hope, that Ja and Ant can continue to. You know,
Tatum's still pretty damn good.
I mean, he's good.
His line, I know he didn't shoot the ball well, but his line in the finals was tremendous.
Yeah, he's a very, very good player.
22-7-7. I mean, really 8-8.
Yeah. But, honestly, like, would you have him? Let me just cast it up the show real quick. We'll get into this.
Please.
Jessica Benson's going to join us. It's my fault, really. I haven't been doing it since I've gotten back. I don't know what's gotten into me. But Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about this, about Tatum, and more. 12:25, the Shelby County Pro-Am is going to be back this summer. Is it presented by our friends at Leaders?
They are one of the sponsors.
One of the sponsors, gotcha.
Yes, Credit Union, our studio sponsor, showing you, John.
Yes.
That they want to be involved in the community. Yes,
absolutely.
The news is it's moving from Orange Mountain Community Center starting tonight. This fourth season, they're going over to Crosstown High.
Gotcha.
So they've changed venues, and yes, man, just like the Bluff, free. You get to see stars. Last year, now NBA champion Jason Tatum was there, didn't play, but attended.
Right.
That's how big these things are. Roddy, I think, I want to say played And the hope is they're going to have a bunch of guys out there this year.
Exactly. So Adonis Thomas, Will Coleman, and Nick Tuggle are going to be in studio at 1225 to talk about who's going to be there, the event coming back, and all of that at 1225.
Growth, yes.
Yes. That'll happen at 1225. Then at 125, Nick Friedel will join us for a final time to break down the NBA Finals.
It's been a good run with
the
him.
Celtics and more. So, yes, definitely have appreciated his time. But, yeah, listen, the Celtics did what they have been favored to do since, I don't know, January maybe, December? I don't know. I mean, basically since, you know, the season began, they have been the NBA Finals favorites, prohibitively since February for sure. And, you know, again, to their credit, they did not even go six games with anybody. You know, they went five with Miami, they went five with Cleveland, they swept the Pacers, and they went five with the Dallas Mavericks. It is as, you know, just sheerly dominant a run as you will see in the modern era of the NBA. With that said, I do think this. I think it is a championship that will not be remembered. I do believe that. Or at least if it is, it will come with a caveat. And I'm not saying that the Celtics players should apologize for it, and I'm not saying Celtics fans should apologize for it. But the truth is that this could be a historically great team. Numbers suggest that. At the same time, they were never really faced with a real test. And I think that's the part. It's like, you can say you're great and the numbers can back that up and it could be true, but you really never had to prove it against a similarly seeded team. They didn't even play a three seed. So that's the part of it I do struggle with a little bit. Like, I kind of felt like, Jason, they needed to stamp their greatness a little bit against a Denver, against a, you know, a healthy team at the East, against a Yon, and it never presented itself.
Yeah,
and I think that's the part of it that, yeah, I give them credit for what they did and how dominant they were, but there's a part of me that's like, I wish they would have been stress tested by a similarly talented team or a similarly accomplished win-loss team, and it just didn't happen.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but they can only control their performance. They can't control what's across from them. And when you factor in how dominant they were, 16-3,
right,
in these playoffs, what are they supposed to do?
I agree.
They rolled through it. To your point, they never hit a game six. Yeah, it'd be nice if it had been a Denver that season. You're coming back and you're defending a championship, a team that's done it. Boston hasn't. Can they beat that? But you can't control that. And West, we've talked about, sort of ate itself. It was unfortunate that what comes out is a five seed that obviously looked like a bad matchup in terms. But I'm not sure, to be honest with you, and this goes back to the Celtics. We're doing so much, I don't know, it feels like taking away from them. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure Denver, you know, if it's different. Maybe it goes six, seven games. But in the end, this Boston team had too much. You know, it's not just Tatum and Brown. That's what put them over the top. Freaking Derek White is out there chipping his tooth, giving you eight rebounds and whatever, 14, 15 points. Drew Holiday, just whenever you needed something. And again, being four deep right there allowed Kristaps Porzingis to be in and out of this series in a way that even if you had him, John, imagine if you had a healthy Kristaps Porzingis.
Yep.
You know, what it would have looked like against anybody from the West. I'm not sure anybody's coming close. Maybe Denver. But my point is, I don't think we can take away here, and to go back to your original point, you might be right that we don't remember it. It could be the start of several, though, titles
could.
For Boston.
Could.
It very well could, because I think now there is a confidence that comes with winning it. And you saw it. You saw the pressure. You can see it in how Jason Tatum's reacted in winning, like the monkey that literally came. Remember when Steve Young finally got the monkey off his back? Joe Montana, he was following, finally wins a championship and literally did it to the cameras. Like, take this monkey. We got one of the receivers. He said, take this thing off my back. That's how it was for him. And now that it is, man, that's a lot of pressure off. And so, listen, I don't think Brad Stevens is going to be done in that front office in terms of trying to bring more championships. We could remember it as the first of many for them. And especially now, John, in what feels like a more wide-open NBA,
mm-hmm.
more than ever, as these stars, these guys that are seeking to put the finishing touches on their legacy, the LeBrons, the Stephs, are moving, the Kevin Durants are moving on. So it could be the start of a golden era for the Celtics. Frankly.
Could.
And yeah, maybe we won't remember this in terms of, man, remember that matchup and how tough it was for them? No, that first one came pretty easy. But I think there are going to be teams out of the West, dude, that step up and challenge the squad. But I'm not just going to look at this and say, oh, you know, boring just because it was 4-1 and the Celtics handled business, dude. They That's what you'd expect from a team that caught the kind of breaks it did. Well, let's see some dominance. And we did. It was the second best winning percentage in team history if you count the overall season. Where they finished 80-21. Second right. best in team history, bro.
Yeah, look, to that
they
point.
They dominated.
There weren't a lot.
And no, that wasn't dramatic.
Right.
But we can't nick them for that.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying in terms of just, you know, the legacy of this playoff run is one that, and again, I don't think last year's Nuggets title was memorable either, because all they did was beat the Miami Heat, an 8 seed in the NBA final.
True.
Right? So it's like,
But memorable in the sense that it was a crowning for Jokic, really, is the world's
true.
Best player.
True.
I mean, we had had the MVPs once you give them the title, and that's what,
right.
this is the next step for Boston. Okay,
yeah.
Now the question becomes, can they make it multiple? If they do that, John, we'll say, it was just like we look back on the Bulls' first title. It was the start of an era. This could be that for the Celtics.
Right. I mean, most championships aren't really that memorable, right? I mean, you don't really remember much about the Warriors beating the Cavs in 4 or 5. Like, you just remember that as a dynasty, more as a, you know, monolith as opposed to any individual. We remember the Game 7 from LeBron.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
I mean, obviously. But unless it is a Game 7, it's probably not memorable. You know, it's probably just, you know, another, you know, the best team usually wins in the NBA. That's the way it works. And look, to their credit, you're right. There's probably only one or two teams I feel like, even if the Knicks had been healthy, I don't really think they would have had much for these Celtics. In
are we talking
series.
Like healthy with Randall and everybody? Like, yeah, we didn't even see him with him.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's hard
part.
To know, but I still would have picked the Celtics.
Of course.
But maybe it would have been a more interesting series.
Perhaps. I still think they get through because they're the ones that have been here.
Agreed.
And they finally had the right group of players around them.
I mean,
and Harrison and Jim were talking about, they kind of went through some different iterations of guys around them. You know, Marcus Smart moving on from him, the OG, the guy that had sort of been a leader and handed that because of how long he had been there.
Yep.
He had to move on. They had to move on from him, I'm telling you. So Brown and Tatum could grow more as leaders. And so it's not coming down to a Marcus Smart last second shot like we were. You know, last couple of years, we're like, what in the world is the ball doing in his hands down the stretch? So all of that's gone right, and you got to credit Brad Stevens and all those guys. But, they're going to try to resign Derek White, to an extension. I mean, they got another year with him, you know.
Porzingis, Tatum, about to sign this new one, Brown's under contract. I mean,
why not?
Yeah.
They're going to run the East for a little while, I would think. I mean, let's see what the 76ers do. If they could pull Paul George, what do you think about that? You would still give the edge to Boston, but wouldn't you be intrigued as them being the two? We'll see. We'll hold off on Milwaukee.
People been adding Paul George to that, like, last piece
to Maxey and Embiid, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing, but it's I don't know.
Those two were obviously, Embiid is flirting and, you know, wants Paul George to opt out or either force the Clippers to trade him. I don't know. Again, you're asking Paul George to leave LA. That may not happen. But my point is, they're set up pretty good in the East to be here for a while.
Oh, I 100% agree with. I mean, there's no reason to think that they necessarily are. Like, this doesn't have to be the last. Again, it's hard. It's hard to get back. But
who's the team that's ready to come out of the West every year and challenge them and give us an epic-type finals? I'm not sure there's one of those. We got teams that really are sort of knocking on the door now. Minnesota, hopefully the Grizzlies, OKC, but they'll be in proven mode.
I think OKC earned their scars,
I don't
scars,
think Denver's
right?
going anywhere.
Denver, yep.
But I'm also not a believer that this Dallas team's going to be right back. You and I have discussed that. There's no
Absolutely
promise they'll
not.
Be back at all.
Absolutely not. They maxed out their team this year. No questions asked. And then you got another year older of Kyrie, like, and he wasn't even good in this series.
I mean, this could be the first of, like, 3-5 for Boston or some run like that, 2-5, even if it's like, you know what, 2-3, could be that.
Yeah, I mean,
and so and that's what we will say. This exactly.
Contract.
I mean, you look at their age.
The only guy
right
that I wonder
scared.
About is Drew, right? Like, Drew's kind of getting up there. What's he in his early 30s?
I was just trying to look at what his
he's 34. I mean,
what his contract situation is.
Drew's 34, and honestly, he's a massive part of that win last night and in this series. I mean, he was unsung in terms of his offensive rebounding, his defense. So I think if you took him out of the equation, he had 15-11 last night.
Yeah.
If you take him out of the equation, I think they are a different team. And Al's getting old as well.
But him and Derek White combined for 19 rebounds.
Yeah, that was crazy. Mavericks were just getting beat to the ball. I mean, there's just no way to, other way to say it. You know, look.
My man made Lisa Salters made my man Derek White smile after he chipped a tooth. It's tough.
Gafford had 3 rebounds. I mean, the bigs got played off the floor. For Dallas, again, it's hard to say too much about Dallas because, you know, people criticizing the way Luka played and the way Kyrie played. Without those guys, they don't even have a chance.
Well, Kyrie didn't show up in Boston.
He did.
Again, for all the credit we were giving him through these playoffs and how, you know, it feels like he's found a home.
Yeah.
A guy now that you're rooting for. He was awful in the three games in Boston, and he brought it on himself by getting too involved with that crowd. It's too much of a veteran, you know, to get caught up in that.
Absolutely.
And not enough help for Luka, especially in those road games of Boston.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a championship, and it was a playoffs, and will people remember it? I don't know. But what it was a capping off of, again, as we said, this is the third greatest team in the modern era, and their run, albeit not against the tip top of the NBA, their run suggested that. And we'll see, you know, can they do it again? They'll be the favorites next year. But yes, Boston Celtics are your 2023-24 NBA champs. We'll come back, talk to Jessica Benson about this, and get her thoughts on the finals, Grizz bounce back draft. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Love sports, so love them so much that we never want them to stop. But as these playoffs are now done, we're getting to that slower time of year. We've got fewer games to choose from, fewer sports. The sports aren't sportsing like we want them to, as they say. It's the nature of June and July. But FanDuel lets us keep the games going whenever we want. All you have to do is open up the app and come up with bets anytime you're in the mood. And this summer, FanDuel's hooking all customers, not just new ones, up with a boost or a bonus daily. So it's worth checking in every day. That's right. There's something for everyone every day all summer long. So head on over to FanDuel.com/JSmith. Start making the most of your summer. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. And see what your boost or bonus is daily this summer. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball and of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expiration. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show.
Coach Houston Nutt.
Now it's the quick coach guy. He yelled at me a little bit too much today. I'm going to put my name in the portal.
Right.
I'm not playing. I'm not on first or second team. I was highly recruited. I'm going to put my name in the portal. And right in the middle of the season, you know, all these, I just, for the life of me, that, and then I worry about the locker room when you have a few guys that make big, big money in the portal. I mean, I'm sorry, in the NIL, and I don't even know why they call it NIL.
It's not really what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I just see so many problems, and just like you mentioned, your place, Memphis. Thank goodness for a guy like Fred Smith that he's got to go ante up and you know give you some collective money.
92.9 FM ESPN's Gabe Kuhn Show.
You know, I like that it's not getting me for another subscription.
No subscription necessary. It's free.
92.9 is like my sports place, bro.
92.9 FM ESPN.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
With T-Mobile, you can save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, we'll pay off your locked AT&T phone up to $650, and you'll get a new 5G phone for free.
Via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits with qualifying plan and credit plus tax and $35 connection charge. Contact us before canceling to continue bill credits or they stop and required finance agreement balances due. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Gabe Kuhn here. I think there's three checklist items when looking for a good dentist practice. One, are they good at their job? That's one thing you absolutely don't have to worry about when you go to Dr. Mady Sadeghi at the Smile Center. Two, is it convenient? I would say the Smile Center is about as convenient as it gets. Perfect location in Germantown. And three, are they personable? You may catch Dr. Mady trying to talk Grizzlies with you upon your visit. But regardless, Smile Center checks all the boxes for a phenomenal dentist practice. Get to their location in Germantown or go to SmileCenterMemphis.com.
You enjoy the thrill of gambling, but what happens when it becomes a problem? Whether you want to cut back or quit gambling altogether, the Gambling Clinic has been helping people change their gambling for over two decades. We're here to help, not to judge. The Gambling Clinic is a Tennessee-based clinic offering in-person and telehealth health support to help people win back their life. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
All 650 acquisition fee, Telluride, RG510849, MSRP 38305, Forte, LXS, RE780, 169, MSRP 21820. Includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 6/30/2024 with approved credit, dealer stock only.
Hey, Jeff, I hear you've got the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event going on right now at Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah. Give me some scoop.
Randy, the scoop is I'm ready to put you in a new Kia for less. 2024 Kia Forte LXS 41 MPG Highway, $199 a month. $34.99 due at signing. How about a 2024 Kia Telluride LX 357 a month? $39.99 due at signing, 24-month lease.
Plus 0% for 48 months on 2024 EV9. And every Gossett Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah.
Gossett Kia South, 2680 Mount Moriah, or online anytime. KiaMountMoriah.com.
This afternoon, cloudy with a high of 86.
Weather brought to you by USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Well, that happens to us all. Well, I come with great news.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with C.J. Hurt on Grand City Media. Catch her on the Grizz Radio Network when Grizz basketball is in. She joins every single Tuesday, and she joins us now. Okay, Celtics champs. They were the prohibitive favorites for months. They get the job done. I want to talk to you a little bit about Jason Tatum, though, as a face of a league, as a face of the NBA. Is it believable? Can he hold the mantle there, Jessica? Or does it feel to you like it does to us, which is something is missing?
Okay, I want to preface with it feels so wrong to criticize a man's personality after he just finally won a championship, right? Like, it feels icky to me, and yet that's exactly what I found myself doing with Jason Tatum last night, because he did what we would expect him to do with the "we did it" moment. Oh my God, we did it. And you could just feel like he wanted it to be perfect. And that part is relatable, because, like, so often many of us get caught up in wanting something to be perfect instead of allowing the, like, legitimacy of the moment and the emotions to come out. And I thought the best thing we saw from Jason Tatum last night was his interactions with his son, Deuce. And that was a precious moment where he lifts him in the air and Deuce's arms are out, and then Deuce throws his arms around him. If we had just had that, I would have loved that. But instead, we have to overanalyze Jason Tatum being just a little, for lack of a better word, cringe. But the man just won a title. So, like, there is great importance in that and cool factor in that, of course. It's what all of these, every single player on any professional sports team, all they want to do is do what Jason Tatum did last night, and that is win a championship. But there is something that keeps me from seeing Jason Tatum as this just embraceable face of the league. And it's like the intangible factors that come out in moments, exactly like the one that he had while celebrating doing this awesome thing last night.
I guess, like, with Tatum specifically, like, and we talk about this all the time, like, and maybe I'm being hard on him, because Brady would do this, and the greats would do this. Jordan would do this. They would make up things. Like, they would just, or maybe they hear one thing and they just extrapolate to mean that this is what society thinks of me. Brady would say, "People think I suck." You know, even though he's, like, obviously the greatest to ever do it. Tatum's up on the podium talking about these 7 years have been a roller coaster, up and down. I had to listen to all the ish people said about me. You know, like, honestly, you went to Duke. You were a top three draft pick. You're about to make $315 million over the next 5-6 years. Like, honestly, you have, you know, people, you know what I mean? Like, you're not really in the crosshairs.
But people are hard on him from a standpoint of, like, people don't think he's cool. People think he's boring. People think he's, like, there's just something off there. All in all, he seems like a very nice guy. I do not know the man. I try not to speak generically on, like, people's character without knowing them. But you know, he seems like a cool, fun dude. And yet we're constantly looking at him as like not cool enough to represent this sport. And, you know, he just does this great thing. And I felt terrible for him, which is so funny because I don't care about the Celtics. Like I wanted the Mavs to win last night. I thought it would be the funniest thing that you could have, even if it just put a little more pressure on Boston fans for an additional game and take it to six and then see where it goes from there. But I did find myself feeling bad for Jason Tatum, both for making fun of him from the, you know, we did it moment, to also the fact that he didn't win finals MVP. And I thought the look on his face made it at least appear that twinged him a little bit, like that hurt him a little bit. And so even in these moments of like great celebration, there's just still something that's not quite there for him being the guy. And that's okay, because Boston didn't need him to be the guy to win a championship. They had a full capital TEAM team, and that's the reason that we're sitting here today talking about the Celtics as champions.
Did you think he should have been finals MVP?
No, but my whole timeline really shifted into that, especially in the fourth quarter as he's, you know, going off and keeps getting to the rim and stacks up 31 points. And he is the first player to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists and not win finals MVP. So statistically speaking, there was absolutely a case for him. But I think that's what is so just indicative of the Celtics team is there were a handful of guys who could have gotten it, whether it be Tatum or Jaylen Brown, who to me just stood out as the best player of the series. And the moments where his, you know, big spurts came felt really critical for the Celtics group. And then also, you know, Jrue Holiday, you can't overlook the importance of him being perhaps the missing link that was needed for the Celtics to take that next leap. I'm not saying by any means that Kristaps Porzingis should win finals MVP, but I think that it's really cool that he still managed to throw himself out there when he's going to have off-season ankle injury. I think Derek White staying in the game after busting up his teeth, like that's just what the Celtics are. So could Tatum have been finals MVP? Sure, but you could make a case for especially Jaylen Brown, who gets it, and Jrue Holiday and others.
Obviously, we're happy for Xavier Tillman. We've talked about that, and he got an opportunity to contribute, obviously, too. But I found myself also happy for Al Horford, you know, in terms of he's on, you know, he's on those lists you don't want to be on in terms of most postseason games without a championship. And I've always thought, not that I've, you know, paid attention to him on a yearly basis, but just with the way he's carried, he's one of the NBA good guys. And so I liked that part of the story as well last night, didn't you?
Yes. My two first notes from the finals are happy for X, happy for Al Horford. And for Al Horford, just to show I know we make jokes about like trusting the process all the time, but it took him 17 years to get it done. He had played in 186 playoff games, the most of anyone, without winning a championship, and he's finally a champion. And if you can't be happy for that, like that's what sports are all about. We should all collectively, you know, love moments like that. The fact that he was drafted before an iPhone existed is an incredible anecdote that, you know, we'll never have that again, most likely. But to see him, to see the just all of the players celebrating with their families. I'll find myself, especially this year, thinking, man, these finals were so boring. Like, this felt like a disappointment of an NBA finals, if we're being honest. At points, this final series felt like background noise. But then you see everybody celebrating with their families and just the whole team element of it, and everybody there is so happy, and I get swept up in it, and I fantasize about a day that I would hope we could experience that in Memphis. But that's when you can, you know, sports are cool. Like, watching a team win a championship, as long as it's not your mortal enemy. I know Lakers fans feel some kind of way this morning. But sports are great.
I'm with you completely. Here's where I struggle. We've credited Brown and Tatum growing up, breaking through all that. You have to credit Brad Stevens for bringing in guys like Derek White, Jrue Holiday, obviously. Here's where I struggle. What about Mazzulla? Like, how do we know how much of this is his impact? He did inherit a pretty good situation as it is, and realize at 35 years old, man, you know, there's a, what, youngest since Bill Russell when he was player coach or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty historic in terms of age, and that you were able to guide a team to a championship. But how much guiding, mm-hmm. how much credit do we really get, and where is he on the list of credit, you know, takers or guys
it's
that
funny.
Deserve it?
I'd put Mazzulla back under Brad Stevens, Like, if I could give a real finals MVP, it would be Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I thought was indicative of, like, the engineer behind all of this. And Brad Stevens put Joe Mazzulla on his coaching staff when Brad Stevens was a coach. And so that's when Mazzulla's journey started in Boston. And again, you put the credit on Brad Stevens because they could have moved on from Mazzulla after the disappointing finish against the Heat last year. Like, that could have been a, okay, snip, snap, cut, we're moving on, we're going to find a different coach. And instead he stuck with Mazzulla. I think Mazzulla's such an interesting cat, and his press conferences have become must-watch for me because they're just bizarre at times, but that stuff plays fine when you win a championship. So he gets, you know, a fair amount of leeway now where he can be kind of the goofy, not goofy is not even the right word, but like introspective person who takes press conferences in directions that you would never anticipate them to go. That stuff's good and fine as long as you have a ring to go along with it.
That's right.
And we will never fully know how much of this falls on Mazzulla, how much of it falls right place, right time. But isn't that everything?
You're right.
You know, even with players, like right place, right time, right team, right chemistry, right, you know, I will never knock the Celtics for winning a championship because it's so dang hard to do that.
Yeah.
But facing teams without critical players and not having to face some of the toughest players in the Eastern Conference due to injury, that's just a fact of the NBA season. And it's just as much talent as it is luck, as it is with every team that has ever won a championship.
It did strike me as I was like, I'm in a group chat with Goodman and all that, and he basically said that nobody in here knows what it's like to win championships. You know, you root for teams that have never won a championship. And I thought about my life, and it's true. The Raiders have never won a championship since I've been on this earth. Tigers, no. Grizzlies, no. All the sports teams in my life have never won a title that I can remember. And and then I just kind of wondered why I keep doing it. Like, what a miserable existence as a fan to go through that. I mean, you've had, you know, college football championships. Jason had the 85 Bears. You know, I never had nothing in my whole life.
And six Bulls titles as well.
And six Bulls titles. Like, I mean, that's seven right there. How many
seven
are you
rings.
Laying claim to here, Jess?
I've got three Super Bowls with the Broncos, and growing up in the 90s, having the 98-99 Super Bowls was a great gateway drug into being an NFL fan. Yep. I have the Avalanche. They won the Stanley Cup when I was a kid. That was cool. And then it's interesting because you say national championships, but I wasn't a true USC like super fan until I went there. And so I've had a lot of misery and woe.
Gotcha.
But I did have a Rose Bowl. I had the Rose Bowl win over Penn State, which felt strong enough and meaningful enough. And then if we're going to like greatest sports viewing moments of my life, when Boise State beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, like nothing will ever maybe make me feel as happy as that moment did. Because it was cumulative of when my dad was at the Western Athletic Conference and so many people talking about mid-majors at that time and the WAC didn't matter. And so it felt personal, like in a way that I did not play for Boise State. I did not go to Boise State. But that one felt like I had a personal vendetta attached to it. And so that will be maybe the one that always stands out. But you should really find a team that wins a championship.
I should just give up. I think I should go back to college and like do like, you know, get a finance degree or something. That's kind of how I feel about it and just move on entirely. Because I had none of the
engineering sounds good these days.
Yeah, that's definitely true. AI, I don't know. I saw a 60 Minute special where I don't know who it was. But he was basically the guy who was being interviewed was saying that AI is going to be conscious and that they're going to make their own decisions and military robots are going to be a thing. So it really may not even matter what I do in the end, right? I mean, not to be nihilistic here, but the end is near.
That took a turn. Maybe all the athletes will be robots too.
We have Tatum. We have one already. So
he took over for Kawhi.
Exactly. Tatum is definitely AI. There's no doubt about it. The Grizzlies, I hope. I do feel like the NBA needs, you know, that edge again after a time. I got to cleanse my palate. Not that Ja is going to be the edge anymore, but.
It's been 2 years of bad finals in a row.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, and COVID was COVID, and Lakers Heat was a big gap. You know, everybody knew Lakers win. So if you want to go back that far, three of the last, I mean, Celtics Warriors was a 6-game series, right? It was fun, though.
Yeah.
It was a good series.
It was a fun series.
Yeah, Celtics won game one. It was relatively competitive. I enjoyed that series in 2022. I don't remember 2021. Who was that? Oh, it was the Bucks Suns. Bucks Suns was
Phoenix.
Yeah, Bucks was 2021.
So so three of the last five though have been duds.
Yeah,
and that is, I do think ultimately that is an issue for the NBA. That and again, I don't know what you do to fix it. I don't think there's anything you can do to fix it. It just is what it is. Like, you're just not getting, you know, the last great finals was, I guess Bucks Suns. I'll go Bucks Suns. Would that go seven? And then Giannis had the 50-point triple double.
No, that one's six.
Damn, 2-0 up 2-0. It only goes
Didn't
six.
It?
I think you might be right. It sounds right. I'd say then 2016 with the Cavs and Warriors. That was the last great one. It's been 8 years since you've had a final series like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. It is. Parity. We've had six different champions, at least, in the last 6 years.
That's a positive trend. Can't scoff
for
over
the
that.
Sake of the growth.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you're a Grizzlies fan, I mean, that's something that you're, you know, people always used to get on the NBA about, oh, it's the same champ every single year. It's the Lakers or the Pistons or, you know, again, I'm stuck in 2003, but you get what I'm saying, you know, like, it's not that way anymore. It's now you do feel like, and with the second apron, if you manage your money right, you know, maybe you can get there.
Oh, yeah. It's put such an emphasis on, like, truly homegrown teams, like, grow through the draft. We are moving far past the era of the super team. And we'll find out, like, ratings-wise, popularity-wise, because I know nobody likes super teams on paper, but they are full of stars, and eyeballs like stars, right? Like, that's just a fact of the matter. And so you're going to have to grow more stars for the games that don't feature, like, the traditional ones to matter as much to the casual viewer. Like, I'll be very curious to see what the ratings were for this finals. And in comparison to the last finals, Nuggets Heat had a similar kind of air to it. It's a challenge. It's the good and the bad with it, and we'll see where we're at in another 5 years. But if you're the Grizzlies, it's perfect because things are built right now to support and, like, pay off for teams like the Grizzlies. So that's a positive.
Jess, is there a commissioner in sports that's more jarring to look at than Adam Silver?
Oh, no.
Because when I look at him, and I don't know what it, I think about death. I really do. And I think he cannot be more than 110 pounds.
No, he is quite skinny. He is small.
Very creepy.
And it's
just
the bald
a creepy
head.
Yeah. Something creepy.
But if you were like casting a commissioner in a movie, he would be so interesting looking, right? Like, of all the, well, I can only think of Goodell, Silver, Manfred, I guess.
Was
who would
Bettman
be the most traditional
NHL
looking commissioner?
I
could not tell you who the NHL commissioner is.
There's just something cringe about him when you got to wait on him to do the, you know, the trophy presentation. You bring him out, and I guess we'll get some more next week at draft. But I just
we will. I cannot believe the draft is just a week and a day away. And now the, you know, free agency, technically outside of, like, they can't negotiate with other teams, but players can at least negotiate with the teams that they're currently on. And hopefully, it gives us something where we're not just begging and thirsty for the draft by next Wednesday. Hopefully there's some actual, like, legitimate NBA news that comes out the rest of the week.
We were looking at that yesterday, the dates on it. When the Marcus Smart trade right around, you know, right around draft time, started to heat up, the action started popping. So,
what is it about the Grizzlies trading for players that allows teams to win a championship, like trading for Marcus Smart, unlocking the Celtics, and also sending players to teams that ultimately do win titles? And the Grizzlies never win one. You know what I'm saying? What is the mythical power here?
Maybe it all adds up eventually.
Right.
Maybe you had to do a certain number to unlock the championship karma of your own. And also, like, again, Xavier Tillman, he's so easy to root for.
Exactly.
And it was Marc Gasol. Like, everybody wanted Gasol to win a ring.
Yes. Yes, they did. Who else did we? Who else was it? We didn't. Powell did it. We did it with Powell, and that was predating this administration.
Right.
But the powers with the Grizzlies go far beyond the last 2 to 3 years. You know, I do feel bad for Marcus, though, who I know is absolutely in his feelings today. Got to be.
I try never to, like, assume one's feelings, but all I can do is put myself in Marcus's shoes.
Absolutely.
And know how I would feel. And no matter how happy you are in Memphis, and you're coming off a tough season too, so, like, that plays into all of this as well, it would just feel so tough to realize that your team was so close to winning a championship, mm-hmm. and you're now not there. 1 year later,
absolutely.
And all the glory goes to Drew Holiday along with this group that you grew alongside in a city that adored you. I was listening to Brian Windhorst's podcast earlier this morning that they taped like right after the series ended in TD Garden, and Cedric Maxwell came on it. And I was shocked at how early in his conversation he referenced Marcus Smart, like saying like, oh, I wish Marcus Smart was here and everything that went down with Marcus Smart. And so he's a guy who had such an impact, and at the end of the day, he doesn't get a ring. So it's tough. Like, will Grant Williams get a ring? Grant Williams will get a ring instead of Marcus Smart, and that's a travesty.
Yeah, like, the best way I could sort of think of it, like, I was out for paternity last month, so it was all Jason, right?
She knows.
Okay.
And the rating.
He was so nice.
The rating that he, well, he okay.
So,
you know,
he was so nice to me.
Oh, you were nice to you her.
Very nice to join. I don't troll her like you do. We did A&E. We did arts and entertainment. Yeah. We got to branch out a little bit.
Well, yeah. Point being, the rating that Jason pulled that month without me was better than the month before when I was here.
Wow. You're really pulling back the curtain.
And so I kind of feel like Marcus Smart. Like, you remove me from the equation, you become the best version of yourself.
You had to die.
Yes.
So that I could really become.
So that you could become the leader.
Jalen could emerge and Jason could emerge as on
you know,
leaders.
That's so,
That's, like, really altruistic of you. The ultimate,
really
you
is.
Know.
I'll take another month off. I will. I'll do it just for you.
No, more time.
Twist your arm.
I don't want to do it. But if it's for the betterment of the show, but I sympathize and I empathize with Marcus in that situation because it's tough for me to come in here knowing that, you know,
dude used to dye his hair green. Like, he did everything for that city to y'all's point to win a championship.
And yeah.
And
then they trade him away and they immediately do it.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming Marcus, but I think it's hard.
And he's like still friends. I would assume. Like, those are his guys.
His little
brother. You're friends with them, but the jealousy factor has to be, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, you do know.
Because Drew is you. Like, that's me. That's my spot. You know, five heartbeats when
100.
Yeah. Flash replaced Eddie King. He's like, yeah, that's my spot that you got right there, Drew Holiday. You, me. That's supposed to be my title.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know that hurts.
Yeah. I mean, you
let's just, not rub it anymore.
It's human condition, by the way. It's killing, not like a.
We killed Jason Tatum today, and now we're just killing Marcus Smart.
It's just the way it is, right? I mean, it's just the way
it's
he has
tough.
To feel.
It's very tough.
And that's okay. Nobody's blaming him for having those very human emotions. Jessica, you're the best.
Thank you so much every single week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Talk to you next week.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson, Grind City Media. Join us every Tuesday here.
I feel for him.
On the show. Yeah.
He helped raise them young men.
Yeah.
Jalen and Jason.
And he does not get a ring. He does not get a ring.
They should send him one.
Oh, he ain't getting one.
Like a little miniature jump.
Bro, don't bother. Don't send me a miniature one. What are you? That's an insult to my intelligence.
Okay, let's send you a real ring. You're not going to take it?
I'll take it.
You would appreciate it, right?
I think I would appreciate that.
Why not? They give them to team mascots and everything else, as I've learned.
Because I feel
why not
like,
send him a ring?
I would. I mean, because he was in the finals with them.
Dude, he was part of this.
I agree.
Nine years, nine playoff appearances.
Some people say that's a participation trophy that he didn't even participate to get.
He helped build it.
But it is a stretch, but I'm with it.
Should reward him with a
ring. But, like, he's not going to get NBA champion in his Wikipedia bio, just so we're clear.
Okay, that's not happening. He used to dye his hair green.
Like an honorary title ring. You helped mold us into the men we are today that allowed us to do this.
Drew took his spot.
Well, Drew's a better player than Marcus Smart. You know, I don't blame anybody.
Drew's a two-time champion now.
He's a two-time champ.
You have to give it to him.
He's just a better player than Marcus Smart. But again, I would, you know, yeah, I'm with you. Like, if you want to do something like a, you know, people would get handed honorary degrees all the time.
I'd rather have it. Don't send me a bottle of champagne or, you know, a thank you card.
No, because that's like a slap in the face.
Right, exactly. I'm gonna resent that.
Remember, you started this with a miniature ring. I mean, you were talking about.
That was a joke.
Okay.
We're going to get it. We moved up to the real thing.
Okay.
With his name on it.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely do something along those lines. Just
Marcus would have definitely had something better to say at the end of winning that championship than Tatum did yesterday, too.
That's true, bro. That is true. I mean, honestly, I think
it was a heck of a move by
Brad Stevens. Brian Scalabrine would have had something better to say than Tatum.
Because we looked at that trade. A lot of people said you're trading your heart and soul away here.
That's
you're
right.
gonna and they became better. with everything they brought in, including Porzingis. So credit Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
He gets more. I mean, Mazzulla's at the bottom of the list. I'm sorry. I just can't. All his sayings.
Yeah, he was weird. He's a weirdo.
Mr. Karate Man.
Yeah, he's a strange bird. Like, he's just not a...
Right, if you had given Ime, though, that team right there, Ime would have won it.
Did you talk about when he was asked about race? Did you talk about that?
I didn't hear that answer.
Oh, it was weird.
I don't get into the Mazzulla
stuff. When the finals started, he was asked about the first time since, I don't know.
Asked him about being a Christian. I think I did read about
this. No, they didn't ask him about being a Christian. No, they asked him about being black.
Right, but wasn't that his answer?
He was like,
something?
Well, I wonder if they were Christian.
So, okay, see, yeah. I read it. I didn't hear it, so I got no context.
Like, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different time. You're talking about religion, and the question was about race.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but he's taking you to something bigger. That we're all, was he saying we're all Christians?
So you? I don't know what he was saying.
A race, and he's I'm just going off the context.
I think he was saying, like, nobody ever talks about, well, were they the first Christian coaches? I don't know, bro. I don't know what the dude was saying.
Trying to stretch you out. He's trying to stretch your brain out and grow you spiritually.
When did he get so weird?
It has been for a minute.
Because he was asked about he was asked about the royal family.
Oh, no, I didn't see
that. And he was like,
I don't tune in for Mazzulla.
He was like, I only know one royal family: Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Wow.
So he's just.
I'm going to be more of a fan of him.
You know, he's big in the faith.
He's big in the faith, which is great. Yes, I like that.
You know, can you also just answer a question normally? You know what I mean? That would help. I'll go a long way. You know, it would.
But God is the answer.
It could. He could be. He could
do everything.
He could be, man. Well,
that's what Mazzulla's telling. You know what? He had the touch. He had the championship touch.
He did. Because
I'm going to start giving him more credit.
I mean, there must have been some divine intervention, because Tatum was only going right last night and Kidd never adjusted. So that had to be divine intervention where he just did not have the...
Dude, you cannot levy any more... just throw any more criticism on Jason Tatum than
you already
have.
That was a criticism of Kidd in that sense. And that one was more of a shot at Jason Kidd, who, by the way...
So he's only going one direction here. That's just,
well, I mean, go back and watch the tape.
Backhanded slap at Tatum as well.
If, 18-21, or actually it was 19-18, Celtics were up one at the end of the first quarter. Kidd rolls out a lineup that has no Derek Lively, no Daniel Gafford, and no Kyrie Irving. And at the end of the quarter, it's 28-18, and that's it.
Yeah, that was a little run right there that finished us off.
And, I mean, and then, of course, it just ballooned from there. It just steamrolled. But it's like, what are you doing experimenting with lineups in a closeout game with no real bigs on the floor against the Celtics, who had a billion offensive rebounds? This is like, you know, sometimes these coaches, man. And I was high on Kidd. I thought he'd done a good job. But last night, he really regressed. He relapsed. He went back to being the old Kidd.
Told you about Porzingis. They played him.
They did play him.
Yeah. He admits you're just a presence
out
there.
He had a couple of moments. He had a dunk, right?
Yeah.
His
presence made a difference.
They hunted him at the beginning. And then
Dallas had owned the paint in the previous two games.
Right. And they did not last night.
Right.
Lively was, it's a lot to ask, right? It's a lot to ask of Lively and Gafford.
Of a rookie.
Yeah, man. I mean, Gafford's whatever big, and Lively's a rookie. Lively will be really, really good.
Lively was ineffective. 2 points, four rebounds.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
24 minutes.
Yeah.
2 points, four rebounds.
He was not good last night. Nobody was good for the Mavs last night, though. Not a single person. Josh Green, maybe, might have been their best player. He came in and hit two threes, but that was it, you know? That was really it. Luka was ineffective. Kyrie didn't do anything. It was just a blowout. It was a domination all the way through. So, anyway, Celtics are your 2023-24 NBA champs.
Rest of the champs.
And, I did do this. I had a free bet at Caesars.
Yeah.
$30. I don't care.
Would you do a little hedging last night or something?
No, I can't hedge with $30.
Your free 30?
I put $30 on the Memphis Grizzlies next year to win the title. 50-1. I just think that's not an accurate price. I don't think the Grizzlies are 50-1 to win the title next year.
Well, I hear they're pretty low in these power rankings that are out.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think...
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, like, I just think that's too low. I mean, I think...
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you're going to benefit a little bit from the fact that
30 wins, 1,500, I mean, whatever, but...
forgotten about the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I just feel like... I don't know what 50-1 pays, or implied probability, because that's, like, that's kind of where this comes in, right? If you just do the... 50-1, that would imply a certain, percentage, but it just feels low to me. I think it's probably more 30-1, You know, 35-1.
Let's calm down. See what they do at center first.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to get ahead of that, right? You have to. If you think they're a good front office and they're competent, like you, because by the time they make that move, that number will change. So you kind of have to buy the rumor, sell the news, if that makes sense. So I'm just gonna assume they do something nice at the.
I just heard that from Golden.
Oh yeah, he buy the rumor, that. Sell the news.
Yes,
I did not hear that.
It's one of his philosophies.
But I have not gotten there yet. But it's funny that you. We're watching that now. We're tuned into that.
Yes. We should have been earlier.
What's
Because it's two seasons. Golden Auctions is the name of the place, but I'm not sure if that's the name of the show on Netflix, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's a show that's about collectibles, high-end collectibles.
King of Collectibles is the name of the show, The Golden Touch.
It's on Netflix.
It's awesome.
If you are into that stuff, we were talking about it yesterday. It's like Pawn Stars, but way more high-end.
Oh, yeah, on steroids.
Yeah. Pawn Stars would have some interesting stuff come in there. I mean, they had, like, you know, but it was...
Civil War stuff.
What's wrong with the Civil War stuff?
Just saying, it's not a freaking Jackie Robinson jersey with blood on it. It's not a...
Somebody it might be. I mean...
You know, it's not the Gretzky, Onis Wagner.
Yeah, there was an episode there of
Triple Logo LeBron.
Yeah, BBL Drizzy was trying to chase the Triple Logo LeBron.
And what did he get?
He pulled a penny hard away. And he couldn't pronounce his name.
And how much was the penny worth?
They said 50.
50,000.
They said 50.
A $50,000 Penny Hardaway car. Now, was it a Triple Logo Man penny?
No, it was just one logo.
Of course, because he wasn't on three teams. That's why
he was on a lot of teams, but I think they just, for this one, it was only one I saw.
Okay. Triple Man is that. It's having a logo from each jersey from the teams, right?
Yeah, That's why the LeBron one is so. The Heat.
Right.
Yeah, because like I think he won three titles with three different teams, and that was the idea.
Yeah.
So, and it went for $2 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they ever say what the people that won it in that break paid to be in the break?
No, but it sounded like hundreds of thousands, not just 20,000. Those break packs, a lot of times you get up 20, you're not getting in for, you know, less than 20,000. Sounds like to buy in to that break-in, they had spent, you know,
at least 100. There was three of them.
Yeah, three guys, at least 100,000, it sounded like. I thought I heard them say 100,000. And so when they got the $1 million offer, you know, that's, of course, they're going to take it.
So the way it works is, I don't know, for people who are in trading cards or who are interested in what we're talking about, basically what happens is people, breakers is what they're called, they'll get these boxes, these sealed wax boxes of cards, hobby cards that could contain high value.